Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, it's getting into high August now, so there are tons of movies playing, so let me just dive right in and tell you about a few of them. I'm talking about two stories with servants who have good reasons not to like their bosses. Another one where an employee is forced to challenge his boss or die. One where a whole class might be challenging the people in power. And one where a group of people attempt to challenge fate itself. First, Devil's Double, directed by Lee Tomahori. Okay, it's the 1980s during the Iran-Iraq War when Latif, a scruffy young soldier with a good family in Baghdad, is brought into a palatial mansion. He's asked whether he wants to work for Uday, Saddam Hussein's son. Well, not exactly asked. He's told. He says no. Him, his family, his friends, they're all going to be tortured and killed. If he says yes, though, he'll move into this luxurious palace where tailored suits and Rolex watches, drink champagne, drive sports cars, have his pick of the most beautiful women, and hang out at the most exclusive nightclubs in Iraq. Which one do you think he'd choose? And what's the catch? Well, he's a near exact double of Uday in height, weight, body type, facial features, so he'll be taking his place at public appearances with the constant risk of being shot at by assassins. So the movie, partially based on Latif's own memoirs, shows his bizarre double life as a professional double. The Devil's Double. So this is a violent, scar-facey story with shootouts, coke-sniffing, disco dancing, and backstage intrigue. It's also a chance for an actor to be on the screen about 140% of the time in the dual roles. When Dominic Cooper isn't playing the humble, honest Yatif, he's acting as the profligate, decadent, cruel Uday, and often both on the screen at the same time. He does it well enough that the audience immediately knows whether it's the conceited, aggressive, strutting, whiny-voiced Uday or Yatif imitating him. They walk differently, think differently, and have a different look in their eyes. Can Yatif find a way out of this crazy life, and can he and his secret lover, one of Uday's mistresses, escape the country? This is quite a violent movie. And while it paints a generally negative view of the whole country under the Ba'athists, it can be enjoyed mainly as an apolitical drama and as an actor's tour de force. Next, another movie about badly treated servants. The Help, directed by Tate Taylor. Smart but frowsy Skeeter, played by Emma Stone, comes home from university to the high society of heavily segregated Jackson, Mississippi in the early 1960s. She wants to get herself a job as a writer. She sees her old debutante friends and takes care of her mother who's dying of cancer. But she soon sees the world is changing and is disgusted by how black servants are treated by their rich white employers. Demeaned, disrespected, badly paid. They essentially raise the white kids from birth, but rarely get to spend any time with their own children. So when Skeeter's friend Hilly, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, the reigning top woman in her set, attempts to pass a bylaw making it illegal for blacks even to use a bathroom inside the homes where they work all day, Skeeter decides something must be done. She befriends Abilene, played by Viola Davis, and asks her to tell her own inside story about life in the South. And when another maid, Minnie, a comical Octavia Spencer, known for her cooking skills, joins her project, it looks like the stories just might be published as a book. This is a rich, richly plotted, multi-charactered story about life in the Deep South and the subtle and overt racism in every aspect of the people who lived it. This isn't a movie about KKK lynchings or good old boys with rifles. It gives a calmer, high society view of the segregated Jim Crow days, right when the civil rights movement was taking off. It's also a richly moving women's story, not a chick flick, with terrific acting all around, especially Viola Davis and Jessica Chastain as Celia, a suddenly rich blonde bombshell who comes from dirt-poor origins who seeks help from Minnie, the maid, the black maid. My only quibble? Well, even though the black characters are allowed to slip in and out of period dialect, the white women's accents don't sound much like they would have in Mississippi in the 60s. But this is definitely worth seeing if you like complicated dramas, family secrets, frequent plot turns, and funny surprises. Next, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, directed by Rupert Wyatt. Will, played by James Franco, is a scientist who works for a multinational pharmaceutical corporation who is developing a new medicine that can repair brain functions. they test it on chimpanzees, and he takes home a newborn one when his mother dies in the lab, but he soon discovers his ape, Caesar, is special. He's somehow inherited the new brain skills of his mother from the drug testing, and he's quickly getting better and better at what he does. He learns art, sign language, and better motor skills from better than any human. Will and Caroline, played by Frida Pinto, treat him almost like a son, almost except for the collar he wears and the leash he's on outside, sort of like a pet son. But when Caesar tries to rescue Will's senile father, played by John Lithgow, from a mean neighbor, he's taken away by the authorities and thrown into an animal shelter that looks a lot more like a federal prison run by cruel guards. There, he interacts with his own kind and discovers he's not a human, but an ape. Caesar has to decide whether who he can trust and whether he should wait for his former human father to rescue him or strike out on his own. Well, if you want a fun, exciting action story, this is the one to see. 1,000 times better than the awful Planet of the Apes remake of a couple of years back. Next, Final Destination 5, directed by Stephen Quayle. A group of 8 co-workers on their way to a retreat, a corporate retreat, managed to escape from an enormous collapsing bridge when one of them, Sam, has a premonition and gets them away in time. But they soon discover they were destined to perish. So they're being killed off one by one in a series of gruesome Rube Goldberg-esque accidents. Who will live and who will die? And will they succeed in cheating death a second time? What can I say? This is one of my favorite genres of horror movies. Bloody gore, but without any identifiable villain. Instead, the danger is everywhere. A leaky pipe, a drop match, a speck of dust, or a misplaced screw. A restaurant kitchen is filled with potentially dangerous flames, knives, and shish kebab skewers. Ordinary life is fraught with danger. Okay, the lines stink, the characters are predictable, the music is corny, and the acting ranges from humorous to forgettable to excruciatingly awful. I mean, really bad. But the special effects are flawless, and the pace is just right. It brings you forward with stress, fear, and tension, then lets you back down again and again, never knowing whether the next shot is a real danger or just a red herring. And the 3D, especially in the multi-leveled scenes in the bridge, on the bridge and in the factory floor, are amazing. This is a super cheesy but great B or C-level summer movie. Finally, Gun to the Head, directed by Blaine Thurier. Trevor, played by Ty Grunion, leaves his own dinner party with creepy swinger guests wearing sleazy kimonos to pick up a bottle of wine and talk to his drug dealer cousin, Darren, played by Paul Anthony. He just wants to give him a bit of help, but he's soon dragged into this underworld of strip bars, guns, and lines of coke. He has to deal with a fickle small-town potentate, his deranged guard, and his sexually adventurous, skeezy girlfriend. Can Trevor outsmart the gangsters, rescue his sleazy cousin, and get back home to his wife, or will everything fall apart? This is a funny, very low-budget Canadian thriller. Though it's not perfect with a cop-out ending, it has fun characters and some manic, but not hammy, performances, especially Paul Anthony channeling Don Knotts as a Vancouver hood. Devil's Double and The Rise of the Planet of the Apes are now playing. Check your local listings. The Help just opened in Toronto. Final Destination opens tonight. And look out for A Gun to the Head, also opening today at the projection booth. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.